Y'all may be seated. And once again, someone gave Sister Sheila an entrance to speak. She does it every week. She said, I just want you to know we're on one accord. You did good, Sheila. But it never fails. I look forward to it. This morning, well, let me tell you a little story, and I'm going to bring out two words before I get to the message I just want you to pay attention to. There was a young man who was walking on the beach. God said to him, you have been so faithful, I'm going to grant you one special wish. He was so excited. He said, I always wanted to go to Hawaii. But one thing, I'm afraid to fly. So my wish is that you will build me a bridge across the ocean. God says, son, that is totally impossible. Think of the logistics of that. Now take your time and wish again. He said, okay. After a minute, he says, God, I have been married 4 times. All my ex-wives, that they say that I am so insensitive. So my wish is that I would be able to understand a woman. I want to know why they think the way they think, why they feel the way they feel. So there was a long pause. And God says, do you want 2 lanes or 4 lanes on that bridge? Nothing is impossible with God. I may be slowing up. I don't know how the Lord want me to deliver this message. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. I'm reading from the New American Standard, so it may be a little different, but it means the same. God has a mission for Moses. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Verse 11. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? And that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt. Oh. And he said, certainly I will be with you. And this shall be the sign to you that is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. Verse 13. Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am sent me to you. If you notice, let me give you the topic first. The topic of the message is, who are you? Who are you? But I said in that little comedy, it says, the man says to God, when I first spoke in that little thing y'all laughed at, he says, I am so insensitive. Remember that. I am so insensitive. Just remember I am and what he said. This virus that's going around, see, people we have had, me and like everyone else, have always had difficulties all the time. But this virus sort of added, so we said, oh, I'm about to recover. Then the virus came and it added to our difficulties and circumstances. Everything got sort of ruffled up. And the word that I am, who are you, the word I am is mentioned 719 times in the Bible, 518 times in the Old Testament, and 211 times in the New Testament. And we just read one important one in Exodus 3:14. Now, this is important. In these last of the last days, there, the Lord says before he come back, there will be many miracles brought to this place. God is going to show his power by his Spirit. He said, I'm going to pour my Spirit out in all flesh. But how we receive that Spirit will be positive or negative. That says, your words are important. Who you are, that's important. That's the way we have to identify ourselves. So God asked the question, who are you? Those I ams that are coming out of your mouth will bring either success or failure. Although the power of I am is at work. All during the day, all day long, the power of I am is at work. We walk, we trip. What's wrong? I'm just clumsy. We look in the mirror. I'm getting old. We see people that are excelling in their talent, like my brother Tom, the drummer here. He's leaving next week. Excelling. He's getting better and better in his talent. And we say, well, I'm just average. I got a little talent, but it's just average. We get caught in traffic. We say, I'm in a mess. Not thinking, many times we use the power of I am against ourselves. We don't realize how it is affecting our future. The principle is, what follows the I am will always come looking for you. See, we all of us have cell phones, and we have location devices in our cell phones. And those cell phones have location devices built in them. So when you say, I am clumsy, guess what? Clumsy gonna come looking for you.
That's right.
When you say, I'm old, just that location device will come on that cell phone. The implications of being I.O., wrinkles will come looking for you. You say, I am so overweight. You keep saying that, and guess what? Calories will come looking for you. When you say, I am, whatever you say after that, it's like you're inviting them. You're sending them an opening invitation. You're opening the door and giving them permission to come in and be a part of your life. The good news is you get to choose what follows the I am. Just go through the day saying, I am blessed. Blessings will follow you. I am talented. Talent will come looking for you. You may feel good, you may not feel good, but when you say, I am healthy, good health will come knocking on your door. I'm strong. Strength will locate you. That's what you're inviting in your life. What you say after you say, who are you? I am. I am what? I'm blessed. I'm strong. I'm fearless. That is why you have to be careful of what you say. You know that little rubber, that little meaty flap between that enamel fence? That thing is a blessing or curse. You can say all you want, but when God asks the question, who are you? If you say a child of God, everything that comes and sees after I am will be like God, what God has for you. Amen. Anything that's not will be cursed to you. We as Christians know that there is no such thing as luck. Don't ever say I'm unlucky. I never get any breaks. What are you doing? It's inviting disappointment. I am broke, in debt. You're inviting financial struggles to your life. You're inviting the sense of lack to your life. You need to be sending out new invitations. Start in the morning, when you just get up in the morning, inviting good things to your life. I am blessed, I am strong, I am talented, I am disciplined, I am focused, I am purpose. Because see, when back in Moses, and they see, Moses had to get it right. Because he says, in way of speaking, I'm not qualified. I'm afraid. So God had to convince him. He says, he told him, I will be with you. And then finally, God kept kept filling him with the word. And then finally, he says, I will go. Meaning that he has found new strength. He found new confidence in what the Lord has given him to do. But many people wake up in the morning and look in the mirror, and all they see is how they're aging. And they said, I am so old. I'm getting so wrinkled. I'm worn out. You are inviting oldness and fatigue. Stop inviting that stuff. Look in the mirror and stop. Instead of complaining, you should say, I'm feeling fearfully and wonderfully me. I'm attractive. I'm looking younger. You talk like that and God will renew your youth. I know people. I know people that the older they get, the more attractive they look. There are people in here, and I know, I don't know if you look in the mirror and say, because Miss Audrey's not here. But the woman, I know you're old, but the woman don't look her age. There are several people here that just don't look that. I was surprised to find out their age. For example, a few years ago, my wife, Linda, showed me some pictures when we, you know, got married. Both of us were in the pictures. She just showed them. You know, sometimes you pull out things, you just look at pictures, and you're taking years before, years while you were married, after you got married. And we were just looking at some pictures. She was young. Hair was thick and full. But I looked at her then, now, and I looked at the pictures that were then. I said, Linda, to me, you are more attractive now than you were then. See, I told her that while we were looking at the pictures. See, both of us were in those pictures. And I waited for her to say something about me. She didn't make any comment. So I take it that if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all. So I said, I guess I would have to make that confession. I'm attractive and I'm young. From that day on, I've been making that confession. So this I am thing is working for her. I have to get this I am thing working for me. I'm getting older, but the looks of aging escapes me. I'm attractive, strong, and I'm healthy. See, when I got this message, in between time when the Lord would give me something else to add to it, I began to make a little list of I am based on what God said I was. Based on what God told me in his word that I was. And I'm still making a list. That list is long. I had a first cousin. I came a few years ago knocking on the door, and we were pretty much the same height when we were going. He was a few years older than I am. And the first thing he said when I opened the door, he said, man, you look taller. Will you be eating fertilizer? I just accepted that. I didn't say, nah. You just begin to hump over a little bit, bent over. But I didn't break his bubble. I accepted what he said. I'm full of health, vitality, wholeness. That is one of the best anti-agent treatments that you can ever take. When you get up in the morning, say, I'm strong, energetic, I'm vibrant, I'm radiant, I'm fresh. How many of you in the morning get up, first thing you do, yawn and you're tired? You don't think about being vibrant because, like I say, you get in the morning, you don't feel all that vibrant. You don't feel all that not being fatigued. You don't feel all that fresh. How many women, how many of you women ever look in the mirror and say, I am beautiful? Yes, indeed. No, most of you are focused on your flaws and what you don't like about yourself, how you wish you had more here and less there. I said that about half, and never came back. Now, half of it did, but half of it hadn't come back yet. When you say, I'm beautiful, beautiful will come looking for you. Amen. Youthness comes looking for you. Freshness comes looking for you. Nobody can do this for you.
That's right.
It's an individual thing.
That's right.
The testimony came out and says, this is a blessed church. God is healing everyone in this church,
Amen.
In this particular building right now. But if you say, I am sick, I am you complaining about what God on the cross said, he already taken care of you. If you complain and talk negative, God says, I can't be a part of that. Because that's not me. That's not who I'm made of. That's not who I went, suffered so much to bless them so they wouldn't be sick. So if they will be sick, they will recover. If you're sick and have everything now, God said, you speak wellness, you speak health, and I can do that. I will have health and strength to come to your door knocking.
Yeah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
Ladies, don't go around telling your husbands or your boyfriend how unattractive you are to them, to him. You're the most beautiful woman in the world. So why will you tell him any different? The last thing he needs to hear is how bad you think you look. Don't put on those thoughts in his mind. It will not do either one of you any good. If you keep telling him how bad you look, one day he might believe you. When you say, I am beautiful, not only will beauty and freshness will come to you, but on the inside, your spirit man will become alive. Your self-image will improve. You will start carrying yourself like you are somebody special. You will go through the day with a spring in your step. With that, you girls, that new girl attitude. That new girl attitude. Beauty is what God made you. He made you to be. Worrying about the beauty and talking about you have to wear the beauty and the confidence that God made you. Just like God has a mission for you. He had a mission to go out and tell somebody something or to go up to a place that you didn't think you would ever go. But he says, like he told Moses, I'll be with you. See, God has a ministry, a mission for every one of us. I don't care how long you've been in the ministry, so he probably been taking this time to get you ready and say, look, before while you're here, I have somewhere to go, for you to go. He wants you to get that I am right now, so he won't take another year trying to get in your head like he tried to get in Moses. See, Moses has just left God, experienced God on top of the mount with the burning bush. And he still came down. He still wasn't convinced of he was strong. Even though God says, I will be with you. He still didn't get it straightened. Then he said, I am. I'll go. It takes practice because we are so used to saying how we really feel. I mean, just common knowledge. But we so much overlook these things. You say, you having the money? So, no, I'm broke. That's one thing I like about Pastor Ann's husband, Herbert. He said, if I had two pennies to rub together in my pocket, I had some money. And the man had money. He worked hard, but he had money. He said, I'm never broke. I've learned that lesson. God says in Ephesians, you are beautiful, fearfully, and wonderfully made. So stop going around downing yourself, feeling unattractive. I'm too tall, too short, not enough of this, too much of that. No, get up in the morning and say, I am a masterpiece. God created me in the image of himself. He created me the way that he wanted me to be. However I am, however I look, whatever size, God, I'm going to take it, and I'm beautiful in it. This is what you wrap me in, what I'm light, brown, white, I don't care. I am going because I look good. Psalm 39. I'm going to have you to, that's a long psalm, but I'm going to have you to read all that yourself. But what it's saying, Moses was saying how God took care of him. Even in the midst of his turmoil, in the midst of his sins, God looked after him. He says, God, I know that you're with me. Even when times are bad, I know you're with me. Maybe I better find it. Let me find that. Because something else, I think, I don't want to miss anything. Psalm 139. We got time. I'm going to read the whole thing. Psalm 139, start with verse 1. He says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Verse 4, even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me with behind and before, and laid your hands upon me. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot obtain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there.
Yes, you are.
If I make my bed in Sheol, in hell, that's what it meant. Uh-huh. Behold, you are there. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold on me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is the dark. Even the darkness is the dark to you. It's not the dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. When you form my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret and skillfully brought in the depth of the earth, your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written, the days that were obtained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand when I woke. When I woke, I am still with you. Verse 19. Oh, that you would slay the wicked of God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That's why you said all that stuff that David done, he got the message and his heart was right. His I am was, I am a child of God.
Amen.
And he continuously asked God to search him, check him, mold him, make him. You don't give that up. Now, where I'm going from here. You know, as a person, you said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And see, that goes against human nature. Most people don't think like that. They don't think that you're amazing. I'm just an average person. The fact is, there is nothing average about you. You have a fingerprint that no one else has. You're the only one like you. There are people that are similar, but nobody like you. There'll never be another one like you. You are an original. When God made you, he threw away the mold. And when we said, Sheila, he threw away the mold, we said, thank you, Jesus. We couldn't deal with two like you, Sheila. We couldn't deal with two like no one in here. I just picked you up because you're my buddy. Robin, I see you. He threw the mold away. But as long as you go around thinking you are just average, you'll be stuck where you are, just average, keeping yourself from advancing. Just think about what would happen if you go through the life all day, not in public, but to yourself, maybe in the shower, driving to work, instead of being down on ourselves and focusing on our flaws. What would happen if we could be bold like David? And I say, I am amazing. I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
I am all those things that God says I am.
Amen.
And that's just talking about the physical part, but getting deeper, God says, by his stripes, we were already healed.
Amen.
So if I hurt, I say, I may feel a little discomfort now, but I know God is, he's working it out. I know I made that little cancer, haven't had my test yet, but I know God is, I know I'm cancer free because God is working it out. I got some issues, other issues, but God is working it out. I'm not going to tell you, girl, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I can tell you where I would be. See, I have so much. See, he's been going back, having me to remember things. And I thank God for that memory because my memory, I have a good memory now.
Amen.
I don't care what, you know, it's improving daily. I'm inviting all those things that consider a good memory. I says, I have my location device, just like my cell phone. Good memory is on its way. I love y'all. Remember God's promise to Sarah and her husband Abraham that they would have a baby? But Sarah was 80 years old, way past the childbearing age. Back in those days, see, if a wife didn't give her husband a child, even if it was a husband's fault, the wife was seen to be the failure. She looked down on, there was a sense of shame for not being able to have a baby. That's how Sarah felt. You know, she was 80. I guess in her own mind, she's saying, I'm too old to have a baby. She felt like she had let Abraham down. Her self-esteem was very low. Can you imagine her, I am? Who are you, Sarah? I am a failure. I'm not good enough. Now she has got this promise as an older woman. She's going to have a baby. God knew that if she would never have come to pass unless he could convince Sarah to change her I am. She really needed a new mindset. God actually changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. Sarah means princess. Now every time someone says, good morning, Sarah, guess what they're saying? Good morning, princess. She heard this over and over again. Those words got on the inside and began to change her self-image. She went from I am a failure to I am a princess. For I am ashamed to I am crowned by Almighty God. Instead of hanging her head down in embarrassment, she started holding her head up high. And for I am not good enough to I am a child of the Most High God. Amen. She finally got to the part of being fearfully and wonderfully made. What else? Let me come to the real question today. It's what kind of I ams are coming out of your mouth. Are they, I am blessed, I am talented, I'm anointed, I'm victorious, I'm healed? Or when you have the right I am, you're inviting the goodness of God. You know, it's something about, it's something about God and being in the midst of when you be in the midst of your turmoil, your trouble, your anxiety, your fears. And I thought about the sun, S-U-N, sun. All of us have advantage of that, because when the sun shines, we see everything around us because of the sun. When you look at the S-O-N sun, I don't care in darkness or light. It's not about the light that we see, but it's everything through him that we see all around us, even though it may be dark. Even though there may be dark times in your life, he allows us to see the light. God has, he has figured out everything so plain and simple for us. Do I want to do that? Let's go to, I think I gave it to Romans chapter 5. Let's go to, I think I added that on when I got here. Romans chapter 5, let's start at verse 1. And see, this is how good God is. And this, I don't care whatever we have going on in our life, God has already taken care of it. But listen to this. This is talks about results of justification. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. Verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That is dealing more with the love that God has for us. See, God is love. And we bear the same attributes as God. That means we have love for others in us. How can you speak positive about God if you don't love him? God fixes it so, and everything he has for us, you always, if you love somebody, really love somebody, you trust them. You trust everything that they say. That's the part where if we start loving God like we should love God, like he loves us, everything that comes or proceeds out of our mouth is going to be positive because God put it there in his word. We can't speak nothing. Everything that he has for our physical bodies or anything, every circumstance, any situation that we may find ourselves in is in his word. So if we have love, if he loved God that much, we will read his word will become a part of us, and we don't have to worry about I am, because I know I am victorious. I know I am wonderful and fiercely and wonderfully made. I know I'm a masterpiece. I know I'm look, the song we used to sing, let the poor say I am weak. Yeah. Let the rich say I am rich, and let the weak say I'm strong. We don't sing that anymore. And after those few words, say, and give God the thanks. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I don't need the rest of this, but I'm going to share this one thing with you. Then I'm done. My son, I think it was 2 years ago, had given me a gym membership at Gold's Gym. And it was good. It was good. I get up in the morning. I tried to go 3 days a week. But when I got there, mostly I would use everything else to be full. I'd get on the treadmill. And that treadmill, I would walk, but it helped in a way because I had balance problems at that time. And it helped keep, I had to hold the rails when I first started. And I walked maybe a mile, but it seemed such a long way because I was focusing on the treadmill and paying attention to that I really don't want to walk this mile. and became a chore. And I had to, and the next day that I got there, I tried to speed it up a little bit. I'm still holding to the rails. Same thing. I went a mile and I was done. But they had these TVs in front of the treadmills, a whole wall of them. So that one day I went in there and I paid attention. Something was on the news I wanted to focus on. So I got on the treadmill, started walking, you know, just doing my thing. I said, walking, going nowhere. But my focus had gotten off the treadmill. Mm-hmm. My focus on that news, on that TV. And next thing I knew, I had walked 3 miles. And I was sweaty, didn't stop to sweat. I was sweaty, tired. But I didn't realize that my focus was on something else. When we are living a life of Christ, you keep your focus. I don't care how bad or difficult a situation may be, or how bad you would hate to go through it. If you focus on the S-O-N and keep focus, and you go right through it, and next thing you know, that little song's like, how I got over. You'd be over the hump, and you're never going to. You know how you got over, but you don't realize you're over until you're over. You look back and wonder. I don't have to look back and wonder. I know who got me over, because you keep your eyes focused on Christ.
Amen.
And you will not fail. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Father, just thank you for just everyone that's here, Lord.